that takes away the sin of the world. That is so amazing. And maybe we may be sitting and thinking, but why did he say lamb? Why couldn't he have announced Jesus in a more dramatic, powerful way that really shows that he's come to establish his kingdom? Why did they have to use a lamb? Okay? How many of us have seen a lamb? Can I just see a show of hands? A live one, or one on TV maybe? Okay? Yeah? So if someone says, hey, you know, if someone important enters a room and you say, whoa, here comes the lamb, will people be like, whoa? They won't shudder, right? When a king or someone big enters you, you want to give them a title that sounds like, whoa, this person in our midst is really big now. Yeah, we need to respect this person, right? But here he says it's a lamb. And the reason for that is because John is speaking to a people that God has spent years preparing for this king to come by bringing forth a foreshadow of a lamb that was already slain and saying one day there's one coming greater than this lamb that you've experienced here, and he's going to take away the sins of the world. So he's not speaking to a people that are unfamiliar about this lamb. Because if you look in Isaiah, there are a number of prophecies that point towards Jesus' coming, that he will be like a suffering servant, and he will be like a lamb led to the slaughter. So there was all this talk that was already going on in among these Jewish people, so that they were expectant of something like that. And the greatest event that happened in the nation of Israel, where God really showed them that I'm doing something here that is going to mark, it's a huge event that is going to mark the coming of a king that is going to come one day and wipe away the sins of the whole world by dying on the cross, just like this lamb that they were about to experience. And I want us to look now in Exodus 12, verse 5 to 7. This is the time when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. Okay? They have been slaves in Egypt for quite some time. Over 400 years. Imagine that. In slavery, in bondage, in oppression, being treated as nothing, year after year after year after year, generation after generation after generation. And the time had now come for God to release his people. And up to this point, he had given Moses and Aaron 10 plagues to perform before Pharaoh, so that Pharaoh can see that truly this God that has spoken to Moses is the one true God, and he has to release the people out of slavery and let them go and worship God. But plague after plague after plague, his heart becomes harder. And even though he promises, yes, okay, stop the plague, I'll let them go, then after the plague is gone, he will just refuse time and time again. Until the Lord said, there's one more. One more plague I'm going to perform, and this will be the end of it. And so he goes, he speaks to Moses, and he says, this is what needs to happen. He tells them that with this one, it's going to involve the death of every firstborn male in Egypt, whether animal or person, because God is about to release and show his power now and say, this is the end. These people must let my people go. And then he says to them, for this to happen, I need you guys to take a lamb, okay? And in Exodus 12, verse 5 to 7, as we pick up, he says, your lamb must be an unblemished year-old male, and you may take it from the sheep or the goats. You must keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel will slaughter the animal at twilight. They're to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lamb. Okay? So God is giving instruction. He's saying, I want every household to take a lamb that is about 1 year old, and it must be perfect, no defect. Okay? Because usually, normally, when people want to, when you know that something is going to die, you don't want to take the best. You know, you want to take the one that's kind of defected and, you know, okay, let's kill that one. But no, not this one. This is a prize cow. This is a prize, you know. But he said it must have no defect. There must be nothing wrong with this lamb. It must be pure, spotless, great, strong. And I want you guys to take it and keep it for 14 days, which means special attention is given to it. It is taken care of. There is focus on this lamb to take care of it, to make it a part of our family, and notice it and keep our minds on it to make sure that it is healthy, it is well fed, it is well taken care of. And then on the 14th day, they were to slaughter this lamb, dip whatever it is they were going to use in the blood, and put it on the sides of the door and the top of the door. Do you see the sign there? On the sides and the top. Already it looks like a cross, right? And then he goes on to say, in the evening, on that night, Exodus 12, verse 12 to 13, on that night, after they've done this, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn male, both man and beast, and I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood on the houses where you are staying will distinguish them. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. No plague will fall on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Okay. So God is saying, when you do this, when the angel of death comes and sees this blood on your doorpost, I will pass over and not destroy you. But I will destroy those. I'll take away the firstborn male of the family who hasn't applied the blood on their doorposts. Guys, the Old Testament is deep. I'm sure some of you are sitting thinking, my goodness, so much talk about blood and destruction or all sorts of things, you know. But God is preparing his people here. We must never forget that the whole reason why God called Abraham, chose him, set him apart, and out of him brought out the Israelites was so to prepare them for the coming of the Messiah and for them to display the Messiah to all the nations of the world that they may know Jesus and come to him. So he is doing things in their history for that preparation. So now this is what he says. And we all know what happened when the angel came. Most of us have heard the story at Sunday school. The angel comes, and all the firstborn males in Egypt, animal or person, were killed. They were destroyed. They were slaughtered. And there was screaming and wailing in the land. But this plague did not touch those that had applied the blood at their doorpost. And believe me, when God says something, it is important for us to follow his instructions. Even if an Israelite had not applied their blood, then they would have suffered the plague as well. The blood needed to be on their door. And since then, it was the beginning of their freedom. From this experience, Pharaoh was so heartbroken and he released the people. He said, get out! Take your people, go and worship your God, leave us, we don't want anything to do with you. And that's where the Exodus begins. All the Israelites were released from Egypt to go to their promised land after this event. And the commandment they got was, from this day onwards, you have to celebrate this Passover once a year to remember how you were slaves in Egypt and how God brought you, how I brought you out of that place. And the interesting thing to see is that when this event happened, it didn't just affect people on a natural basis. It says here in the word that we just read that God said, I will execute my judgment against the gods of Egypt. So this was something that had a profound impact on the natural, but also in the spiritual realm. Okay? And this is a foreshadow of what would happen when Jesus would come. You know, Egypt is a place that represents bondage, slavery, captivity, just like sin. Okay? Sin is a place of bondage. It's a place of captivity. It's a place of oppression. Even though a lot of people may not see it, they think, oh, I'm enjoying my life. I'm so happy out here. I'm free. What they don't understand is that sin captures and brings oppression. It only brings death and nothing good from it. Okay? So Egypt was symbolically that place. And God was saying, I'm taking you out of Egypt and I'm taking you to your promised land. Out of bondage into freedom. Through this act of slaughtering a lamb that would die and they would apply the blood on their doorpost. This is so profound. This is so profound. And that's how they were able to leave behind Egypt and come to their promised land. And you know, often when someone has been following the Lord and just loving him and being with him, and he goes back or he backslides or goes back into the world, people often say, oh, that person went back to Egypt. You know? They're longing for Egypt. That place of worldliness. But there's so much oppression and bondage there, okay? So this is a foreshadow of Jesus is coming and what it will mean not only for the nation of Israel, but for the whole world, because it says this lamb takes the sins of the world to take us out of a place of bondage and bring us into a place of freedom. That was God's heart. He left the story there. So that people will be able to recognize when Jesus comes. And that's why John looks and says, behold the Lamb. To take them back to that place. So profound. And the interesting thing is, it's no coincidence that the death and burial of Jesus actually took place round about that time when the Israelites were celebrating Passover. It's, you know, when God does something, he doesn't just do things. You know, he wants people to understand what he's doing. He's got a message. He left a thread of understanding among the people. So here the Jewish nation is about to celebrate Passover. And Jesus is about to die in that same space of time. So we see in Luke 22, verse 7 to 8, where he says, where it really shows us that it was around Passover. It says, then came the day of the unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and make preparation for us to eat the Passover. Okay? So it was around the same time. When he's sitting with his disciples to eat, around that time. Some people actually say it was the Thursday before the Friday when they celebrate Passover, because it wasn't the Friday, given that he died the Friday, and the people were actually going to celebrate Passover or eat the Passover meal on the Friday, not the Thursday, you know? So, but it's still around that time. As we're celebrating this feast of the Lamb, I am the Lamb that has now come. And I too, I'm going to die during the same time to show you that the real thing is here. The real thing that you've been celebrating all this time, looking back to, is now here to bring salvation to the whole world. So great. And then when the hour, Luke 22 verse 14 to 15, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. Okay, I just read that scripture. Sorry, it's the same scripture. I meant to move on that as he's with his disciples and he is ready to take this meal, he wants to show them as well who he is. And then if we read that in Luke 22 from verse 19, it speaks about how he took the bread and he broke and he gave to his disciples. And he said, this is my body that is given for you. It was broken for you. That's why we have communion. But then at the same time, he takes the cup and he says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. The new covenant in my blood poured out for you. The key word there is new. Okay? And for there to be a new covenant, it means there was an old covenant. And now he's saying something new is here. And what was the old covenant? It was a covenant that he made with Moses, with all the laws and rules and regulations of how the people should live to appease God and be in great relationship with God. And if they broke any of those, an animal had to be killed and slaughtered to wash away their sin. Year after year after year, animals were dying to atone for the sins of man. And we know that the blood of an animal can never be good enough for a soul of a human being that's created in the image and likeness of God. It could never be good enough. It could never take away the sin. It was a constant reminder that we're not doing something right. And in fact, when Moses sealed this old covenant, after he had told the people, this is what God expects, he read the book to them, and then the Bible says he sealed it. He sealed it by taking blood of the bulls and putting it on an altar, and then taking some of the blood and sprinkling it on the people, and saying, this is the blood of the covenant that you have just made now. So the Old Testament, blood of a bull spilled, sprinkled on people to say, now, these words that you've accepted are binding to you. Versus a new covenant that does not require animals anymore, but someone who laid down his life. So this is what Jesus is pronouncing. A new covenant has now come. Up until now, people have been used to celebrating the Passover, to using animals' blood. And we know the Bible says the life of any living creature is in the blood, right? And that's why blood sacrifices is a big thing, okay? Even in witchcraft and voodoo and all these other things, people will tell you, when a soul dies in exchange for something from the spiritual realm, it's big, yeah? It's not just giving a cell phone or money or whatnot, something needs to die for an exchange to happen in the spiritual realm. Okay? So we can see that blood was very important. But it couldn't just be any blood. It has to be blood of a spotless lamb. And therefore a spotless person. And that could only be Jesus. Because the Bible tells us that although Jesus walked this earth, he was tempted in any way, like any human being, but he never gave into that temptation. And we must never be fooled to say, but this is the Lord of Lords. Come on, can he really be tempted? Yes, he had to be made like us in every way to be able to be a mediator between God and us. And the Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Jesus Christ. So he took that place. And he is the one that had the perfect blood to be able to atone for our sins. So here is greatness coming into the world, not to pronounce that I'm here to rule as king, not to pronounce that I'm here and I carry all the authority, listen to me. But to say, I've come to lay my life down for the sons of the world, so that everyone may be freed from that bondage and captivity of sin, where we had given away our authority to the devil and he could just do what he wanted with us. But when Jesus died on that cross, he made a public spectacle of all these dark forces and rulers. Okay? Again, what he did didn't just affect us in the natural by washing away our sins, forgiving us of our sins, but it had an impact even in the spiritual realm. Right? Said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Okay? It did something in the spiritual realm that gave back our authority. And as we are in this time of Passover, just celebrating and coming to that place of being reminded. I know nowadays we've got Easter eggs and a whole lot of things that want to kind of overshadow the truth of what's happening this weekend. But we must never forget that this weekend is about Jesus, who laid down his life for us. You know, he did not say a word as he was being trialed and he was being mocked publicly, being made a public spectacle for you and I, being whipped. I mean, if you guys have seen that movie, The Passion of the Christ, or even any other one, you will see how Jesus suffered. He suffered. He was so broken, but he was carrying this cross, and he was hugging it and embracing it. Because of the love that he has, he saw every single person whose sins, whose brokenness, whose pain will be nailed on that cross so that we can be free. He says that as he was hanging on that cross, he became a curse for us. All the curses, all the brokenness, all the judgment, all the wrath and anger of God that was supposed to come towards us because we keep breaking his laws and not living according to his ways was put on him on that cross so that you and I can be free. And so that we may never need to do anything else to try and appease our relationship with God, except come to the cross. And you know what the sad thing is? There's so many people that are still trying other things to try and get to God. There's so many people that are trying so hard in their own strength and power to get to God. When God is saying, nothing you do would ever be good enough. Because that gap was so wide. All you need to do is come here at the cross. Come to my son. And he is the one that has fully satisfied my wrath and made a way for you to come close to me. You know, when Jesus died, the veil was torn open. In a place where only the priest could go in the Holy of Holies, the veil was torn open so that we could all enter freely. Just through Jesus. So friends, we don't need another mediator. You don't need to go to any person who says, I've got power, I can hear from the dead, or I can hear from this on your behalf. We just need to go to Jesus. He is our mediator for the whole world. Every single person sitting here, irregardless of race, irregardless of your color, irregardless of your age, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me. And that is the beauty that we're celebrating this weekend. That we've come to say, Lord, we want to remember you always. May we never take this for granted. May we never take it for granted. And may we never be ashamed of Jesus or speaking about him. But may we always remember that he was hung naked, naked, on a cross, publicly shamed for you and I. Amen. At this point, I would like us to just enter into a time of communion as we're being reminded of what Jesus did. And I just want to invite the worship team to just come back again and play softly in the background as we just enter this time of communion. There is communion there by you. We could probably all just stand. Let's just stand in the presence of God this morning. And just say, Lord, we're so grateful for your goodness. As we gather here, as a people called out by you, set apart, a people that said, yes, we want to enter this covenant with you. We don't just acknowledge and see and hear what you've done on the cross, but we receive it. And we say, we are entering into that covenant with you, Lord Jesus. On your chest, you'll see that everybody has at least some communion elements. Just take time to open those right now. And as we're opening that, we're just reminded that, yeah, Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. No one could take his place. He gave his own blood. He was whipped and taken our sins away. And he was the last sacrifice that ever will be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This morning, Lord, we are reminded of your body that was broken for our healing and the healing of the nations. We are reminded of your blood that was spilled to wash us white as snow for the forgiveness of our sins. As we gathered here this morning, Lord, we don't take you for granted, Lord. We just want to thank you so much for this truth. And if you're here today, maybe someone just invited you. I just want to encourage you to take this time to say yes to God, to say yes to this covenant, if you've never made that decision before. Because these communion elements are for those who have said yes to the covenant, and we're taking it to remember him. And if you're not in covenant with God through what Jesus did, if you haven't participated in that, first make that statement. Even right now in this moment, as we're taking time to partake of the bread and the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You may go ahead and just partake of the body if you haven't already done so. Thank you, Jesus. There's healing in our bodies because of this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You may partake of the blood. You really haven't done so. Thank you, Lord, for this blood. It was poured out so that we may be free in you. No more bondages. You do not hold our sins against us. If there's anyone this morning struggling with condemnation, the Lord is saying there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. It doesn't matter how big the sin is that you have committed. It doesn't matter how terrible it is. If you bring it to the cross, he is faithful and just to wash that sin away. Thank you, Lord.